Hey, it's time for yet another Zichru Chazara, this time the third parak of Maseches Sukkah. And as always, we thank so very much Rabbi Goldhar and Rabbi Barry Leibowitz for the wonderful Zichru program. So the third parak of Maseches Sukkah, Lulav HaGazul, begins on Daf Chav Tes, where the Mishnah talks about all the psulim of Lulav. We have several Mishnayos in the parak that talk about the psulim of each of the Dalin Minim, but they're divided separately into separate Mishnayos. So the first Mishnah is about a Lulav HaGazul and a Yavesh and all of the psulim of a lulav. On Daf Lamed, we talk about the principle of mitzvah haba ba'avera, that Kadosh Baruch Hu sone gezel ba'ola, the pasuk says, and that's how we learn the principle of mitzvah haba ba'avera. The Gemara tells us that there is one shita that holds that a stolen lulav after the first day of Yantif is not a problem anymore, because it doesn't hold of the shita of the problem of mitzvah haba ba'avera, that it's only an issue of lachem, and therefore it's only an issue on the first day of Yontif and not an issue after that. And then the Gemara tells us the advice that Rav Huna gave to Hani Avankari, to the people who used to sell the Hadassim, that instead of when they would purchase from non-Jews who were chashur on Gezel, that on stealing the fields, that instead of them picking the Hadassim themselves, they should allow the non-Jewish salesman to pick the Hadassim, and that way there would be Yeyush and Shinur Rishus, so that it would be able to be Lachem. Whereas if there's Yeyush and no Shinur Rishus, then it would not be lechem. And the Gemara clarifies that the Yeyush and Shinur Rishus is only necessary for the Avankari themselves to be Yotzei the Mitzvah. For people that they would sell it to be Yotzei the Mitzvah, anyway there's Shinur Rishus after the Yeyush. On Daf Lamed Aleph, the Gemara tells us about the Takonas Marish, Takonas Hashavim, that if a person steals a beam and builds it into the Sukkah, so on Sukkahs itself, there's a Takana that they do not have to take apart the Sukkah in order to return the beam, even though normally there's a mitzvah v'heshivas gzeila, in order to make tshuva easier, we allow them to keep their sukkah up and just pay back the money. And that's the story the Gemara told of the woman who came kvetching, that all the rabbanim of the Beirish Kalusa are sitting in a sukkah gzula, and the response was pu'usa hida, that she is a loud person who's just talking too much, because ein la'el d'mei etzim bilvad, the only thing that they're really going to have to pay her is the d'mei etzim. They don't have to pay her any more than that. And then the Gemara tells us that if you have a dried out esrog, so an esrog that's not hadar, a whole discussion whether an esrog requires hadar. And at the end of the Gemara says, what do you mean, a whole discussion whether an esrog requires hadar? It's described in the Torah as a pre-eight hadar. So the Gemara says, no, but that word might just mean hadar bi'ilana lishana lishana, or something like that. It doesn't necessarily mean that an esrog in fact has to be hadar. Then the Gemara tells us that if a lulav is split on the top to the point that it's avid kehimnik, that the leaves are pointing in different directions, like a Y or a V, so then it's going to be puzzle. On Daf Lamed Beis, the Gemara talks about whether the tiyomes is going to be puzzle if it's nechleka hatiyomes, or only if it's nitla hatiyomes, that the tiyomes is taken away, or even if it's just split, it's going to be pasul. The Gemara also identifies what a kashul lulav is, what a lulav looks like, and it talks about how if its leaves are hardened, that it wouldn't be a good lulav, and if it's very pointy and harmful to a person, then it wouldn't be a good lulav, because drachad darchinam v'chol nesivah seh hashalom. And then the Gemara talks about the characteristics of a hadas, that a hadas has leaves that are mishulashim, they're ka'avosos, they're made like a chain, that they're chained along the branch, three leaves in each spot. On Daf Lamed Gimel, the Gemara talks about, continuing to talk about a hadas, that if the top of the hadas is cut off, so that makes it puzzle, but then it grows a scab on the top after Yontif has already started, so do we say that kibin denitcha nidcha, that there's dichoy etzel mitzvos, and since it was no good to be used for the mitzvah, it remains no good? Or do we assume that it was nidche v'shuv v'niris, and therefore it's going to be ra'u, it was nidche me'ikara, and now it's ra'u, so now it can be used. The Gemara also discusses in that context, what if you have a hadas that has anav meruba me'elav, it has more berries than it has leaves, and you cut off some of the berries, so does that make it kasher? And that may depend on dichoy etzel mitzvos, or it may depend on the issue of whether lulav tzarech Rain Sarach Eged, where there's a din of Tasav Lamanasui by Hadassim. And the Gemara then goes on to tell us, the next Mishnah tells us about Aravos, and it describes Aravos are Kedelin by the Nachal, they grow by the brook. So that's where you can find Aravos. On Daf Lamed Dalid, I think that's what we're up to, and Daf Lamed Dalid, we discuss how many of each min one requires. That is one lulav, one esrog, two aravos, and three hadasim. We know two aravos because it says in the plural arvei nachal. We know three hadasim because it says three words to describe anaf, eight avos. Before it does that, the Gemara tells us that a tzaftzifa is not kosher for an arava. That a typical arava has like a red stalk and it has long leaves that are smooth edged, but a tzaftzifa has none of those characteristics. It's a white stalk, it's a rounder leaf, and it's jaggedy edged. So that's a tzaftzifa, and a tzaftzifa is not kosher for an arava. Then the Gemara tells us that the esrog should be taken separate, apart from the other three minim. So even though you hold them sort of in proximity to each other, the lulav is in the right, the esrog is in the left, and they're apart from each other. The esrog is not included in the eged, for example, if you hold that lulav tzarich eged. On daf lamed hey, the Gemara tells us four different interpretations of what hadar means, whether it's a lashon of hadar bilan mishana lashana, whether it's a lashon of like hidur of or like a hadir, like a flock that just like a flock of animals has larger ones and smaller ones, and bali mumin and tamimim, so too an esrog tree all at the same time has all of these different types of esrog, larger ones and smaller ones, etc. And then the Gemara talks about an esrog of orla. What's the psul of an esrog of orla? So is it a psul that it's in bo heter achila, or is it a psul that it's less pe din hana'a, that it doesn't have a din hana'a? So the nafkamin is between them. And we talk about nitla pitmaso, that if the pitum falls off of the esrog, then the esrog is going to be pasul, whereas the ukats falls off, it's not going to be pasul. On daf lamed vav, the Gemara talks about simane trefa in an esrog. We compare the simane trefa in the lungs of an animal to the simane trefa of an esrog, and we discuss, should they be the same? Or do we say that no, by the lungs of an animal, it's protected from the atmosphere, and therefore it could heal itself, and it's not going to be a trefa as quickly as it would be by an esrog, where it's still exposed to the atmosphere, and then we talk about an esrog that grows in a mold or in a form of some sort, that even if it grows in a way that looks like a water wheel, which has these grooves in it, since that's still a tzura of an esrog, a basic tzura of an esrog, it would be kosher. But if it were to grow in a mold that were to shape the esrog like some other fruit, where it would look like a pomegranate or something, then it certainly would not be kosher. The Gemara also talks about that some people used to use gimoniel shel zahav, they used to use gold to the Akira Yerushalayim, used to use gold to wrap their lulavim, but the Gemara says that's not a raya, that you need to be oged, that you're allowed to be oged shalobim Bimino, because maybe they were oged the lulavim bimino milamata, that they used the min of the lulav when they bound it underneath, and just on top of it they put a little bit of gold. On Daf Lamed Zayin, the Gemara suggests, I think it's Rabbi Yehuda who suggests, that maybe a lulav, the schach has to be made out of dalad minim shebelulav, and he has a kalvachomer. He says because if the dalad minim, which are noheg only during the day, so we see that it's a pretty light mitzvah. It only applies for half of the yontif. It only applies during the day, and still it's limited to those dalad minim. So sukkah, which applies by both day and night, should for sure be limited to those dalad minim. But the Gemara says no, because this is a kal v'chomer that's tchilas alahachmer v'sof alahakel. Because what's going to happen if you don't find dalad minim? What are you going to end up doing? You're going to end up using other items that you're going to end up not using anything, rather. You're going to end up not using other items. You're going to say that, oh, I don't have a sukkah, and you end up not sitting in a sukkah, so that would be a terrible thing. The Gemara also talks about that you're allowed to smell the esrog shel mitzvah, but you're not allowed to smell a hadas shel mitzvah, because a hadas, the ikra hano'a one gets from a hadas is the smell that from the hadas. So therefore, when you designate a hadas for the mitzvah, you designate not to use it for the smell. Whereas when it comes to the esrog, the ikra hana that you get is the taste and not the smell. So when you designate it for the mitzvah, you're designating it to not be used for eating, but you're still allowed to smell the esrog. And Daf Lamed Zayin, the Gemara also tells us that what the purpose of the nanuim is. We're at the end of Amud Beis, where it talks about three possibilities of why we do nanuim, either because it wards off ruchos ra'os and talalim ra'im, all sorts of bad atmospheric conditions, or it's a way of showing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who runs the world lamala lamata and dalad ruchos shalo, that we're showing a sense of loyalty and servitude to the Ribono Shel Olam, or that it's gira be'ina desitna, that we're showing like it's an arrow in the eyes of the Satan, that we've been victorious over the Satan. That last one, the Gemara says, maybe is not such a great idea to go around taunting the Satan. On Daf Lamed Ches, the Gemara discusses the Mishnah says that if you're in the middle of a meal and then a lulav arrives, so notel al shulchano, you pause your meal in the middle in order to take the lulav. So the Gemara wonders, why is that? By a lulav, we pause our meal in the middle to take the lulav. Yet we learn in Masech Shabbos that for mincha, you don't have to pause your meal in the middle to daven mincha. So the Gemara wonders why the answer to that question isn't obvious, that belulav is a mitzvah d'oraisa, and mincha is not a mitzvah, tefillah is not a mitzvah d'oraisa. So that's the Gemara's wondering why we don't give that answer, when in fact we give other answers as to why it is that we would pause esrog. Maybe we're talking in a case where there's not enough time in the day to take davening minim later, but by mincha there is enough time in the day to daven mincha later, and other answers that the Gemara gives. And the Gemara tells us that we also have six hilchsa gevirta, major halachos that we derive from our minhagim relating to Hallel, that the way we have minhagim of repeating certain psukim, of responding halleluka at certain times, and repeating word for word sometimes, so it teaches us all sorts of different halachos, or at least is a remez to all of these different halachos that exist. Like if a katan is reading for you, then you have to repeat every single word that he says, but if a gadol is reading, then you could just repeat halleluka. So there are six different halachos. Now, one of the things we said that we learn is that there's a din called Shomea Ka'ona. We learn that from Psukim, because the Pasuk describes Yoshio and Melech having read something, when in fact it wasn't Yoshio that read the Sefer that Chulda Hanaviyah found, it was Shafan. So we call it that as if Yoshio read it, even though it was Shafan that read it, because Yoshio listened. So you see from there the din of Shomea Ka'ona. And Daf Lamed Tes, the Gemara tells us, that you always say a bracha right before performing a mitzvah. The Gemara discusses, how do I know that over is a lashon da'akdumehu, that it's a lashon of that which comes first? Maybe over means afterwards. How do you know that it means that something comes first, that it means that something comes first? So the Gemara says from three different places, from Achima'at's running and running ahead of the Kushi to tell David about Avshalom's death, or from HaKadosh Baruch Hu going in front of Klal Yisrael when we go out to war, or from Yaakov going out in front of his family when he was going to greet Esav. So that's how we know that it's Lashon Da'akdume. The Gemara tells us that if you buy Dalet Minim during Shemitah year from an Am Ha'aretz, you should request that he gives you the Esrog as a Matana, and if he refuses to do so, then be Mavliya the Dmei Esrog in the Lulav. But the Gemara says, B'chol Mikra, when you pay an Am Ha'aretz for an Esrog, you can't pay him more than Dmei Shalosh Su'udos, more than the value of three Su'udos, because that money has Kedusha Shemitah, and he's going to put that money away and he's going to use it for later, and that's going to be a violation of the Isra Schora with Shavias. And Daf Mem, the Gemara discusses Lulav has Kedusha Shviyas as well, even though normally wood does not have Kedusha Shviyas. That's only because wood is not Hanaso B'yiru Shava. Normally you destroy it and then you get the Hana from it afterwards, from the coals that it creates. Whereas by a Lulav, since it's primarily used to sweep out a house, it is considered Hanaso B'yiru Shava, and that's why a Lulav has Kedusha Shviyas. We then discuss money that has Kedusha Shviyas. and whether the money, the Kedusha, gets transferred only derech mekach or even derech chilul. Meaning, certainly when I sell something that has Kedusha Shvias and therefore or barter it for something else, so that's certainly the Kedusha transfers. But what if I just take two items that I have and in my own home, and one of them has Kedusha Shvias and the other one doesn't, and I exchange them for each other? Derech chilul, does that work? So that's machlokas, whether it works derech chilul. Then the Gemara tells us that one of the consequences of doing schara with shviyas is that a person ends up so poor that he's going to have to sell all of his, even his metaltel and all of his kelim. That's what the Gemara says, that in the context of trying to figure out what each shita does with the other one's pasuk, when they describe whether derech chilul it works, or whether it works or not derech chilul. So on daf mem aleph, the Gemara talks about that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made a takana after the Churban Abayis. The Mishnah says that lulav is nital kol shiva zecher l'mikdash. In the mikdash, lulav has to be taken for all 7 days. Outside of the mikdash, the mitzvah d'oraisa of lulav is only one day. So after the Churban Abayis, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made a takana that as a zecher l'mikdash, we take lulav all 7 days. He made another takana, she yom hanev kulo aser, that the entire second day of Pesach, there's an iser of chadash. Even though normally when the Korban Omer is brought, the Isra of Chadash goes away, so then that always happens before Chatzos HaYom on a normal year, and when there's no Beis HaMikdash, it's Heir Mizrach. As soon as the sky lights up in the morning, the Chadash is Mutter, but we're afraid that Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash, next year the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, and everyone's going to remember, oh, last year was Mutter in the morning, and they're not going to wait for the Korban Omer, and the Korban Omer might not even get done by Chatzos, it might be delayed, because the Beis HaMikdash might be rebuilt in the middle of the night, or on the 15th, because even though Rashi and Tosfos point out, even though Binyan Beis HaMikdash is not Docha Shabbos and it can't be done Belayla, that's only when human beings are building it. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu builds it, it could come at any time. It's gonna come down Min HaShemayim at any time. So because of that concern, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made a takana that Yom HaNeif is Kulo Aser. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara quotes the Braisa about the idea of the different Tanaim that were traveling together on a boat, and only Rabbi Gamliel had a lulav because he paid Elef Zuz for it to show Kama Mitzvos Chavivas Alav, that he was willing to pay such an exorbitant sum of money for a lulav, and he gave it to all the other Tanaim to be Yotze the Mitzvah with a Matana Al Menas Tahachzir. So you see that a Matana Al Menas Tahachzir works when it comes to Dal and Minim. It's still considered Lachem of each one of the Tanaim, provided that they're in fact Machzirit at the end. And then on Daf Mem Beis, that's what we're up to. I think on Daf Mem Beis, we said that if a person is Toa B'dvar Mitzvah, then he's Pater. Meaning, if a person does an Aveira in an honest attempt to try to do a Mitzvah, he's Pater. But the Gemara says, according to one opinion, that's only if he has not yet been Mekayim the Mitzvah. But once you've already been Mekayim the Mitzvah, you're not going to be Pater. And that's why, if a person carries a Lulav outside in Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos in order to go do the Mitzvah, he's going to be Pater. So the Gemara says, yeah, but wait a second, wasn't he Mekayim the Mitzvah the second he picked up the Lulav? So he said, two possibilities. Either he was holding it upside down, so he was not Mekayim the Mitzvah, or he was holding it al yidei davar acher in a non-respectful way, and therefore he's not Mekayim the Mitzvah. The Gemara also tells us the different ages of chinuch for different mitzvos, for ketanim and different mitzvos. So for lulav, it's when the child is yodei l'naneya bo, when he knows how to do the nanuim. But the Gemara also says that when a child knows how to speak, he's yodei l'daber, then the father should already teach him Torah tzivalana Moshe Marasha ki Hilas Yaakov. He should also teach him, the Gemara says, the first pasuk of Kriya Shema. And we also identify the earliest, the age of chinuch for tefillin is when he's yodei l'shmar tefillav, for tzitzis when he's yodei l'is atev, for Karban Pesach when he could eat a kazayis of tzli. We go through the different ages of chinuch, and that brings us to the end of the third parak. So that is the third parak of Masechta Sukkah, parak lulav hagazel. Everyone should have continued hatzlacha with their zichru learning.